This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Oh, baby, I guess you got your books in me.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Brian's going to tell us about the Cardinals in just a moment, but I want to tell you about our title sponsor, Hollywood Casino. Boy, it'll be rocking this week. Thursday night, 99 Hops House will have the Blues game on, have some of those great barbecue pork nachos, 99 different beers to choose from. Friday night, maybe a great night for dinner at Final Cut Steakhouse. And then I believe on Saturday, it's going to be the Zac Brown concert. Boy, Hollywood Casino puts on some great concerts out there. If you get a chance, go to Hollywood Casino's website, check it out, and head on out there and have a great time at Hollywood Casino. Brian, what about the Cardinals?
Frank, from May 10th through 12th, it could be a battle for first place against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Cardinals have great giveaways that weekend, including a Melina Clemente double bobblehead, a mystery performance t-shirt, and a Cardinals cross body bag. Get your tickets today at cardinals.com/promotions. You have a photo of the bobblehead, and it looks really cool. They're holding a Puerto Rican flag.
There's a Yeti Yachty, then there's the bobblehead with Melina. There's also a Yachty jersey coming up, right?
Oh.
Oh,
my gosh. That may be the biggest of them all.
In the next 3 weeks, there's a Melina jersey, a Yachty, and then the Clemente Yachty bobblehead.
You judge how big the giveaways are by how many people are on blocks away on the corner selling them out of trash bags. You know, when you have a couple of them, you know that bobblehead is special.
I got to tell you, it's just crazy how much free stuff people get when they go to games. I credit Joe Strom and Mr. Van Bruzegan, all these great guys in the Cardinal executive offices. But it's just like Ahmad, for example, Ahmad Hicks. For some reason, he gets lucky. Every time he does post-game, he goes there and he comes back with stuff, you know? And whether it's jerseys and jackets and pullovers, it's just unbelievable.
He's taking them out of players' locker? No.
Security coat right on the side of the stadium. I figured it was free.
Took Mike Schilt's Fungo bat? No.
Yeah.
I would like to look at another team and see how many nights are promotional items, because the Cardinals have to be close. I understand that it's a movement within baseball because you're trying to get more people in the building. But could other teams be giving away as many items? I mean, it's almost every game. It used to be about 5 or 6 times a year.
Yeah.
You'd get the bat night. If they did a glove, it was a huge deal. Maybe a magnet schedule on week one.
I got to tell you, those gloves are not that bad either. They're better than the ones you'd buy at Spicer's or something, or the dollar store. They're quality gloves.
We need to see the DeWitt math. How much do they spend on merchandise that's promotional merchandise? Is it a couple million a year?
Today's Weather Day. Craig Moeller's at Busch Stadium today for Weather Day day where there is some weather.
Yeah.
What a coincidence.
I love spring subtle. Yeah, it's a big day.
What about sports day? Why is it weather day? Who cares about weather?
And they promote the heck out of it, too. You know,
it's weather day. All right. 5 for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's 5 for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
We did 5 for Chuck yesterday. Maybe it was the rodeo shirt or the fact he was wearing a Billiken's credential, but he didn't quite get the premise when I would say, you are, and it's the, you know, role-playing is what we do here on the show. And he would stop and say, oh, wait a minute, I'm him. That's right. Okay, never mind. So let's try this again. You are Ben Bishop. Is there any part of you that has an extra edge or really wants to show the Blues? You screwed up. You could have had me. I could have been the goalie in my hometown.
Well, even though I'm 32 years old and have made a lot of money and may win the Vezina Trophy, absolutely. You had 3 goalies in the system that you like more than me, and I'm better than all of them. Look who's still standing, St. Louis Blues. And I also want to make, you know, my dad proud. I want to get a little bit more business to Bishop's Post. I want to have the greatest series of my life right now.
He and Bennington could actually huddle and say, I know, they didn't really believe in me. No, I know, they didn't really give me a shot either. Oh, they looked past you? Yeah, it's funny. They have kind of the same story.
Yeah, 7 years apart.
All right, you are, let's see here, Jed Jerko. You're making $13 million. You play more ping pong than baseball. Are you happy?
No, and I'm really disappointed that I can't get enough playing time to try to hit myself out of this 0-83 funk. And I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel. I know I've had a 30 home run season. I know I can hit. But this situation looks pretty brutal because they're not benching Paul Goldschmidt. They're not benching Colton Wong. And they're not benching Matt Carpenter. The only thing I'm going to be able to do is swing a baseball bat in the eighth inning, you know, every night. And that's not going to be enough to get me out of it.
Isn't it weird walking in that clubhouse and you see him? And we used to interview him fairly regularly, but he also played fairly regularly. And I was just thinking about it. Guy's making $13 million, which a lot of money. But I'm sure every
day. What does Matt Carpenter make this year?
It's similar, I think. I think it had a big number towards the end of his deal. 12 or 13, maybe?
This year, he is pulling in 14.75.
Wow, so almost the same amount of money. Gosh.
And I think San Diego is paying a portion of this. So it's not all the Cardinals' money. But the point is, the guy who played pretty regularly for a couple of years has no role. And because he's played so much, it doesn't feel right. Well, that's okay. You're on the team. You're just a utility guy. Drew Robinson being a utility guy, Munoz being a utility guy, it makes sense. With Jerko, it just feels weird in there. And he's a very nice guy.
He is, yeah. You know what's crazy, too? It's just about, like, being good early in your career so you can kind of make that money. I mean, I always get back to my guy Tommy Pham, who's hitting 300 with a great on-base, great slugging in Tampa. You know, he's never going to make big money. He's maxing out. He's got to play his lights out to get another contract, and yet you got Jerko, who's going to get maybe 150 at-bats this year, is going to make $13 million. Just crazy.
We need a Pham quote where he says that. I mean, Jerko's getting paid $13 million. He's not even playing. Oh, I miss those Tommy Pham soundbites.
So do I. Bring them back.
All right, Frank, now you are the general manager of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Westbrook's got a number of years left on his deal. You don't seem to really be making much progress. What are you going to do to fix this team?
You can't. You're
you're stuck.
Yeah. All right. And if I'm next year's promotional campaign, we're not getting better.
Yeah, we're one and done every year. And if I'm Sam Presti, and the who's really a brilliant general manager, if the Lakers throw a boatload of money, I think, you know what, maybe I'll try to resurrect that franchise because you're not going to get any better there.
It seems kind of hopeless, doesn't it?
It does.
Now, they had Harden, they had Durant, they had all these names over the years.
Steven Adams, they have good point. Like, they have two great players, but they have a solid roster, dude. If you can't get past the first round now, I don't know or even with Harden and Durant, you never will.
They are going to be paying Westbrook and Paul George $273 million through the year 2023 combined.
Oh, my God.
They got a bargain.
To go one and done.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, how about this? Let's just say you're Monty Williams, and you have a chance to take the job in L.A. or take the job in Phoenix. And in Phoenix, you got Ayton and Booker and who knows, maybe Zion. I mean, who would have thought the Phoenix Suns job would be more appealing than the Lakers?
You have a psycho owner in Phoenix, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd like the Suns franchise to be good again.
Yeah.
I always kind of like seeing the Suns in the
Paul
playoffs.
Paul Westfall, Alvin Adams, or Barkley, Kevin Johnson?
All of the above. Did DJ play there after Seattle?
Dennis Johnson?
Yeah. And up in Phoenix for a little bit. You said Alvin Adams, right?
Yeah. Oh, he was great.
I think Devin Booker's a potential. I mean, I think he's already a top 10 player. I mean, he is so not known in Phoenix, so a lot of people wouldn't put him on. He is lights out.
I will say this, though. It's sometimes, I go back to something Rich Daly said. Remember the Mizzou coach Rich Daly?
He always got the Detroit guys.
Yeah. So one time I asked him about, there was some players from St. Louis who went to Wake Forest. And
was Sam Ivey?
Yes. And he was scoring up a ton of points. And then so I asked Daly, well, how could you let that guy out? He goes, well, somebody's got to score the points. So, like, I'm not demeaning Booker, who's a really talented player. But in that situation, every time down, he gets to shoot the ball as much as he wants. It's kind of crazy.
But he is so good, though. I feel like I get a lot of shots.
I like Brad Beal better than Booker.
I think Booker could get up there, though, past Brad Beal.
And
with
I think
a team.
If I'm Monty Williams, I think avoiding LeBron might be good as a head coach.
Yes.
Where he could just ruin my career. I'm not really going to get a lot of coaching done when he's there because he's going to take over everything. The Laker job is a premier job, but do you, if you have options, do you want to be the Lakers coach? I mean, it sounds cool, but if it's LeBron and he runs the show, I don't know. I think I might go Suns just to avoid LeBron.
Absolutely. And then you have three. What if you got Zion with Booker and Ayton? That's a playoff team.
All right, Frank. Bader is back or soon to be back. So what's the plan?
I think it's 3-for-2. And I would not put Jose away. I would just, you know, pick matchups.
So Bader, Fowler, Jose?
Yeah, and I look at Fowler as a left-handed hitter. You know? I don't look at him as a switch hitter now.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
With that kind of depth.
If you're facing a lefty, it's an easy day to give Fowler the day off. I think that's fair. Now, Bader has good numbers against Chacin, but is Bader not in the lineup today?
So he's not. He hasn't been activated yet.
Okay.
When do you kind of approach Dexter about dropping the switch hitting thing and just bat lefty?
Go all lefty all the time.
Look at how often that happens later in a career.
Yeah. He just doesn't seem very effective.
There's just not many switch hitters, period.
Yeah.
Why don't we bring that up the next time we're talking to him, Frank?
Yeah.
He mentioned yesterday. And
we're going to play the bite?
Where he's talking about the fans?
Yeah, it's you and I both enjoyed it. Here we go, Dexter Fowler.
Oh, it was great. It was great, especially as hard as they've been on me. So, it's happy to see. I'm happy to see the other side of it.
He was talking about the fans, the great reaction Monday night. He said, especially as hard as they've been on me. And I told Frank right away, I said, if I were him, I don't recommend saying that. Just let it go, move on. But
it
I also
was 100% accurate, though.
Right.
Too. I mean,
but if I were him, I'm saying I think I would just let it go. Like, make some peace here and just say, hey, things are going great. I'm having fun. It obviously still bothers him, and maybe I would feel the same way. But I don't recommend that he bring it up, but I also recommend that we run that soundbite because it's a great bite.
Over and over.
Yes. Clearly, he's still a little bothered by it. All right, number five, we'll go Cardinals again. True or false, Ponce de Leon needs to stay. Don't you want him on your staff?
Yeah, I know that the thinking is that Michael Wacha is only going to miss one start. But there's no way, with the starting pitching you've gotten so far this season, that a guy who just went out there and went five innings and allowed one run should not get a chance to go again. There's no way.
And Michael Wacha has never missed significant time for something that they originally thought was minor. That has never happened.
But even it's every stint.
Well played there, Brian.
But even in the bullpen, I'm sorry, I'll take Ponce de Leon over even a Gallegos, a Tyler Webb. If Mike Myers were healthy, I think I would go Ponce de Leon over Mike Myers. I mean, the guy, and you can tell when you talk to him, he's got a little bit of moxie, right? He's also a very good soundbite, which is somewhat of my argument here. I just think that guy, what he has shown the last 2 years, both starting and relieving, I think he's good enough that he needs to be here. And if it came down to him or Mike Myers, that's fine. Him or Tyler Webb, Gallegos, I don't care, righty-lefty. I think I want him on this
but
staff.
But here's the issue. If you do that and you put him in your bullpen, then he loses the ability to start eventually if he's only going one or two innings. But right now, he may give you a better chance to win games than Dakota Hudson.
And then Carlos Martinez, related note, is coming back as a reliever. It sounded like Mike Schilt was just... I think they don't have a lot of options. It doesn't sound like Carlos is going to be reliable enough to be a starter. If I was reading it, a lot of the questions were about how does he feel about it? Is he going to be okay with
his... Sounds like Carlos almost asked for it.
Yeah.
Right?
There was something weird. I'm just saying the vibe there was... Not like, well, we've decided and we're going to go forward with this plan. It was kind of like, well, this is the best we could come up with.
And it was weird because, was it a week ago, Schilt was saying he kept getting thumbs up emojis from Carlos about how his bullpens were going. I'm confused or just, I'm curious what happened in between then.
Yeah, it is kind of fascinating when you think like the off season. Well, Carlos Martinez, he's your number one starter. And now here we are still in April and this guy is a middle reliever.
Yeah, now I do think if he's healthy, he could be a great addition to the bullpen, especially when you lost Reyes, who you're counting on as maybe being a late inning piece. Miller hasn't been 100% reliable. So if Martinez can do a little bit of what he did late last year, that's great. I just don't think you can trust him as a start like every 5 days. If a guy in the bullpen isn't available, you can kind of live with that. But every fifth day, I need that guy really to get out there and be 100%. I don't think they could trust Carlos to be a part of the rotation.
Brewers have signed Gio Gonzalez, by the way, to a major league deal. So he's back in Milwaukee.
That, boy, that gives you a little insight to just what their pitching staff
They're already
like.
Scrambling,
yeah.
You know, pitching-wise.
And I think Charlie brought up the point earlier today about, I mean, we're just so deep. If you look at Ponce de Leon, I mean, he's like your ninth starter, or he was like 2 weeks ago. And now he has an outing like that. And there's Gomber.
Yeah, and Gomber's a guy we don't even mention. Chuck Marlowe, big thumbs up for Frank quoting Chuck Marlowe. I'm sorry. I was on the phone. I missed your great take this morning that Frank is now quoting you on.
I quoted you on the Ponce de Leon.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's why
deep
he
could be your
in.
Eighth or ninth starter.
How about 10th starter, right?
Yeah.
If you start throwing out Gomber. I'm talking before the season.
Reyes.
Carlos Martinez, Reyes, Gant. Real quick, I was at the gym. Just pounding the weights.
Yep.
I was benching.
You look like you almost broke a sweat.
Do you drop them and scream whenever you're done with their
first
set?
First of all, I'm very sweaty, but I'm talking there
chest
to my wife's uncle, who also works out there, and I'm leaving. He's coming in. He goes,
a lot of talking.
Listen, no, I was done. It was perfect timing.
Okay.
And he says, you know, I'm listening to the radio. He's like, I only tuned in for about 5 minutes. So they talked about you for the whole 5 minutes. About my shirt or something?
Yeah, shirt.
Oh,
get some new content.
Oh, today.
That was new content.
I was waiting for you to know. Frank and I were having a discussion, and Frank said, well, Charlie was a little distracted yesterday because of the shirt, and I said, we even had a discussion about whether he could do a stand-up for TV, and I was waiting for you to text me and say, false narrative. Well, we didn't know what was more confusing, you asking gymnastics questions or your outfit.
What'd you ask? What were the questions you asked yesterday?
Well, I now know that, of course, and I knew this before I asked the question, that Nastia Lukin did compete in the 2012 trials at Chaffetz. But unfortunately, she didn't make that Olympic team. And, of course, I knew that before I asked the question. But she did win gold. Frank, was it 08? You're
Sounds
the Olympic
right.
guy.
Yes, yes.
He's wearing a gymnastics blazer.
By the way, she was really a neat gal. Really,
oh,
I enjoyed her.
A neat gal.
We did.
How old is Frank? A neat
we
gal.
We did look nice. Her up. It looks sure. like she was just broke off an engagement, it looks
oh,
like.
Really?
Nastia Lukin?
It's like a lot of homework being done there.
No, yeah. Yeah.
Save those stories.
For research.
Chuck's question.
She even said after the interview, she said to Chuck about that shirt, that's the exact same shirt that John Travolta used in Urban Cowboy.
Wow. Well, it's funny. Here I am.
Hold on. What did you, but explain it. What did you say to her? You loosely
okay.
did.
First
so
of all, then,
so
care.
They roll out a gymnast, and you're like, this is great. We've got somebody famous here to speak
okay,
with.
Okay, listen.
First and question was, what's your name again?
No, my first question was, how great is it to have this event here? Blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Ah,
now,
wow.
remember.
Deep.
Remember.
Ripped from the Mike Wallace playbook.
Listen, they surprised
Roy
us.
Roy Firestone, move over.
If I can finish. They surprised us with this announcement. So you couldn't do research knowing what sport it was, right? So they roll out the gymnast. They're talking up there. They throw you a press release. But at the podium, Nastia Lukin says, oh, it's so great to be here in St. Louis. And, of course, you know she's an Olympic gold medalist. So my question was, what was it like to be here in 2012? You're at Chaffetz and you're at the Olympic team trials and then you make it to the Olympics. And she very nicely said, well, in 2012, I actually didn't make it. Yeah. I said, oh, I mean, you know what I mean. It was just a great atmosphere.
But just talk about competing and stuff.
Welcome to St. Louis. My name's Charlie Marlowe.
So it was 08 where she actually won the gold. But
of course.
Congratulations.
They just gave me the press
release. Yeah.
They
where
just
were you?
I got it on my phone here.
When I was in college, I missed my finals.
So when you went to London or Sydney or Rio, one of those, right?
Yeah. She couldn't have been nicer. And, Frank, how about that food down there, huh?
Ooh.
Good
very,
stuff.
That grilled cheese, that triple cheese on there?
I had
there.
Two of those.
Yeah. I had two interviews yesterday cookies. With you two idiots, and both were like, gotta go. And he mentioned, ooh, they're putting the food away.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly he was done.
Now, 100%. I do have a theory. I posited this yesterday during the midday grind.
You two
can chime in. I'm thinking there's a direct correlation between, say, true importance of that press conference and then food available to the media. Like the Cardinals make an announcement. They traded a player for a big player, or they have an extension for a really good player. There's no food.
They don't even have the ice machine
There's something for gymnastics at the Enterprise Center. A lot of food.
Anybody
that gets the media out there.
Come on out to the press conference.
I told the story. Remember Pete Wickham, Frank?
Pete Wickham from the racetrack.
He was the racetrack PR man, and he would email us a release and say who was going to be there, and it would always be loosely famous. So it would say, Unser to appear at Gateway. And we were like, whoa. It's like, this is Steve Unser, his uncle. You've heard of that. I'm like, wait a minute.
He's a mechanic. And then he's a great guy.
But he would include in the email, lunch will be served.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
he would start to put in there, we've got potato salad. Like, he would start to give you the items, I swear to you. Or he would call
yeah.
and say, of course, we'll be serving lunch, potato salad, cold cut. He would give you the menu, and he'd say, do you think you'll be here?
I hate to say it, but this morning we're talking about the NFL draft and how now we don't really pay any attention to it. So we start to kind of recollect about all the great draft memories at Rams Park. And then basically the first thing I thought of was how great the food was usually. They'd have a different catering service for each night.
Bandanas,
usually barbecue.
Tex-Mex.
Well, the draft, nice, it would come
the draft night.
That's what I'm saying.
The single greatest night of all
That's
time.
That's what I was saying.
I'll replay the music.
You see how excited it
is? The Rams would draft some crap player, but now, you guys are too busy eating food.
This may even be before you got here. Martin, you remember these had the steaks.
Outback on Wednesdays.
Oh, no, I'm talking about on draft night.
Oh, draft night, yes. Yeah, steak.
Yeah.
How about the food on draft night? But it would come in waves.
They even had an omelet maker on Sunday mornings, the third part of the draft.
But that was the best part. Round one was a bandanas or whatever it was. Round two was the really nice burgers, maybe. And then the third day would be something different. And it was just 3 days of great food.
So you missed the draft and the cover. No. The food. Like, and Howard Balzer's the only one there at 7 a.m. on a Sunday. And Frank rolls in with his kids. What are you doing, Frank? Well, we heard there was an omelet buffet.
You got steaks, right?
And I'll never forget, it was the final day of the year that Michael Sam was drafted. And although I was very happy that Michael Sam was drafted, the second you heard St. Louis Rams draft Michael Sam, you just knew from a media standpoint that your job was now going to be a lot more complicated in the sense of just a media onslaught.
Yeah.
Which did happen.
Good work, Chuck. We appreciate that.
You are sweating. I take it back. You're sweating.
He's sweating from the hot takes. That's why he's sweating now.
And to your uncle, we did. Yes, it's correct.
Jess's uncle.
We spent a little time.
He said five full minutes. So
I don't know.
Get some content. The Cardinals have won four straight.
The Blues are in the playoffs.
The Blues are about to play in the playoffs. Come on, let's get some content.
What's in the Home Loan Expert cap you got there?
Stuff.
Okay.
Stuff.
Chuck Marlowe just back from a chest and shoulder workout. We'll take a short time out. We'll be right back.